B-Pod Studios.
Five-time Super Bowl champions Tom Brill, Belichick, and the New England Patriots play. Toucher and Rich are live on Radio Row at the GWCC. Presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealers. Watch the show on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. We are at Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center. This hour of our wonderful program is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Matt Chatham, former Patriot, three-time Super Bowl champion. He will be part of Nesson's nightly Super Bowl preview show, Chasing History, Countdown to 53, every night this week at 10 on Nesson. Don't mind us, so.
That's all right, so we're good.
Look at this world-class market share.
I wore a little Coors today, too, guys.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm more of a banquet guy than the light stuff.
Yeah, is there anyone that air guns more than Scott Zolak? Hey, what's going on there?
I'm going to go make some cash. He, like, dresses up for this. And, like, I'm not positive he's on television. He's got things.
We do our little Nesson pregame show each week there on the field, and Zoe just times it to drop in. I mean, he sets his alarm.
No, he waits for the camera to roll.
Absolutely. Yeah.
He absolutely loves it. Yeah. Absolutely.
He's a part. He's a segment. We build him in. He's going to drop in.
Nice.
He's going to say something stupid. Yeah.
All right. So does this bring you back? I mean, is it weird seeing it as somebody who covers the team now when you were on the other side?
It was 5-6 years ago. Now that's worn off. the weird thing for me, and a lot of Patriots fans may not know this, I had a cup of coffee in St. Louis. I was an undrafted free agent in 99 by the Rams. So I was there first, so I know a lot of the guys, but then I was released, and the Patriots picked me off on waivers. So a lot of those dudes that we ended up playing in the 0-1 game were guys, at least for a summer, you know, that I kind of got to know training camp. It was my draft class. It was like Torrey Holt and Dre Bly and Lionel Barnes and some other random guys. So I Rich Cody, Cameron Spikes, old names that people may not remember. But I had a little bit of a personal relationship with those guys, you know, just coming to the league as a baby. So it was pretty cool to me that, you know, this kind of, you know, serendipitously ended up happening. So it was kind of fun.
So what was the first, like, celebration like afterwards? I mean, because, you know, all these different guys that are now gone on to be, you know, there's some Hall of Famers in there. There's, like, you know, Patriots Hall of Famers. Like, when you were in the middle of it all, how did they act differently than what you know them to be now?
Well, that first one was so weird, guys, because remember, with the 9/11 stuff, we lost a week, so we were just there. You win the AFC Championship game in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
We fly home that night, basically do our boozing on the plane.
Yeah.
And then you arrive in the morning and have that super early team meeting, and we turn around, everyone runs and packs their bags, and we go back to the Super Bowl. So there wasn't this cool feel of, you know, the slow sort of drip that we get now with the 2-week thing. So it happened so fast. I didn't soak it all up. Thank God you got to go to a couple more of those things. But you learn to sort of appreciate some of the little stuff. But the first post party was at the old Fairmont Hotel. We were just down the street from the casino there in the Big Easy or whatever. And I remember Snoop had, like, his bedazzled goblet thing standing off to the side. And, you know, my corny, I love him to death, but my corny sort of Midwest parents, you know, had actually driven from Vermilion, South Dakota to New Orleans.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, man.
Now, why?
Why not? So, no, as kids, we actually at one point drove to Hilton Head, Savannah, Georgia, near here.
Oh, yeah.
So this is just what we do. Oh, you got a week off? Let's drive to Alaska.
Yeah. Like, all week to get there. Stay there for a day.
Yeah, let's waste all this time.
So I remember that post party, though, with my parents who boozed with us, hung out, all my relatives, you know, that crazy party we had afterwards. Got to talk to Snoop, who was just some guy on TV to them, which was pretty cool.
Did Snoop talk to your parents?
Yes, Snoop talked to my parents and, you know, my in-laws and everything, and they just had the time of their life. And then, you know, 2 o'clock, 2:30 rolls around, got to hit the road. And my parents jumped in the car and drove back.
My God.
That's awesome.
But back then you could booze on the plane. Can you still do that now?
Officially, no. I believe this was sort of a inside your bag kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay. Who's saying no after you win a Super Bowl though?
Yeah, like, exactly.
Even now, no one's going to say
AFC Championship game.
Like
I see what you're talking. Okay,
it's like, I always pictured like you know. Stewardesses, you know, throwing champagne in the air. You know,
it's a little bit different.
Yeah,
the good Lord made flasks.
Well, this was weird yesterday because now there's all this talk. Brady shot it down.
Sure.
Gronk said, I'm going to take 2 weeks to think about it. And then Devin McCourty yesterday just kind of throws that out there that, you know, he doesn't know whether or not he's going to retire after the season's done. And that's why this Super Bowl seems different than all the rest, is because you're truly starting to see a potential end of some of these star players no longer being with the team. What advice would you give someone like Gronk or Devin McCourty, as someone who has played and no longer plays, about whether they should retire and what life is like once you're done?
So my wife and I had that sort of hardcore conversation. I had my 10th training camp, right? And I had had my 3 years with the Jets, by the way. So this is at the end of the year when I'm kind of at that. It's not as happy down there.
It's a little easier. Who was the coach at the time?
The Mangini years were the years that I was down there. So that, I left in free agency.
They were okay 1 year.
Yeah, we were fine. But anyway, that I had before I ever took a snap there. I shredded my foot in one of those those goofy off season. Competition things, a little mini camp deal. I shredded my foot. I had when people have ACL sort of reconstruction.
Yeah,
I had a foot reconstruction. Basically, my sesamoid joint on my big toe was completely redone. So I did it after the year, though I played on that thing for a season. I would take my pair of shoes. I was a Nike guy at the time, and Nike would give me a new pair of shoes for each week. I would take a razor blade and cut a hole in the side so that the side of my bunion basically could stick out about an inch and a half.
God.
But my feet killed me. I mean, more stupid drugs. I mean, I'm an advocate for the whole medical marijuana stuff in a minute because, good Lord, I took more pills that were more bad for me then. But the point of that is when you're going through – and I was playing. So if you're a Jets reporter, all the New York guys, I was a captain at the time, so I had to face them each day. And I wasn't technically on an injury report, but, good Lord, I was dealing with something that drove me nuts. And that went on for two seasons into that third, where every offseason my wife were like, are you going to keep doing this? Like, when are you going to stop? And it's hard to turn down that check. I mean, it's a really nice check.
Right, yeah.
But legitimately, like to your question, Rich, I basically you'd never, ever, ever want to make that decision, here. And you don't want to make it even a month. I think a month is more fair. Even a week or two, there's going to be an emotional component to it. One of my favorite stories was, and Patriots fans will remember this one, not for good things, but when we went out to Denver in 2005, which I believe was my last Patriots year. We lost that the Ben Watson game. Ben running them down,
sure. Yep.
And Asante Samuel getting called for that garbage pass interference in the half, and all that stuff. We were pissed and we were mad. We felt like we had a pretty good team that could have gone a little further, and we had a bad day on that day, and we lost. And me and a couple of the buddies, other guys on the team, I won't put their name out there because I'm not sure they want this known, but we took our checks and we kind of felt like they were tainted. It's like we felt we got screwed. You know, everything. Person thinks that when they lose in the playoffs.
Right.
We took our game checks and we cashed them and we went to Vegas 2 days later. And we're like, well, it's not my money and I don't want that. And let's just take the tables and see what happens.
Yeah, that's shrewd investing.
It's
that
shrewd.
That's why it was documentary broke.
I teach classes now on financial investments. Yeah. So, but at the time, you know, like an idiot, I got down and I did pretty well. You know, first several hours, I'm up $5,000 or something. And so I take that, and we had a concierge who was helping us, and he went off and bought me a watch with that $5 that I was up. And a few minutes later, it was all gone. It's like, wait a minute, we'll get the watch back.
Can I cash this back in?
But we had a blast. But the point of that is you do sort of the impulsive think, don't do that. I mean, that was over the top.
Yeah.
But you really don't want to make decisions in that first month. It's not a good time. Your mind's crazy. Your body's still beat up. Everyone, I don't care who you are, even if you think you're playing 10 more, feel way different in May and June than you do in February, March.
What's week one like, the first year that you're not playing? Like, what is it like to be a player who played all these years, and for the first time on week one, you're not in the NFL?
Yeah, so for me, I think the big thing was to get absolutely as far away from it as I possibly could. I bought a big old house in Long Island, and I was still stuck with it at the time. You all remember the whole market crash. You build a new house in 2006, you're trying to sell it in 2008. Good God.
Yeah, it was impossible.
It was a bad time. So I still had a home there, and I had actually originally – I'm a big skier. So I had bought a place out in Keystone in the early 2000s. I go out there and train in the offseason. I love 50 feet off the gondola. Like, I love to get back in the bowls there, and that was my – thought I'd do in retirement thing. I was going to get an MBA. I was a pre-law guy before the NFL, and that happened, so I didn't get to go finish up the school. So I thought I was going to go out to Boulder. I thought I was going to go, you know, be a ski bum, but then also go to law school, kind of, or go to business school, excuse me.
Yeah.
But because I was stuck with this monstrous property down in Long Island, I was like, well, I guess I'm staying here. I still had the condo. I actually rented that condo to several Patriots players a few years I was gone.
Oh, smart.
So then I'm like, okay, I'm going to come back up here. I'll live in that place. And I enrolled at I applied at Harvard, at Boston College, and Babson College. Now, I was up here for all those years. I'd never heard of Babson. You guys know Babson?
Oh, yeah. Roach's kids went there.
Yeah, Roach's kids.
Danny Ball game. Danny Roach.
Wellesley, yeah. Mass, yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, all these years, I had no clue of this place. And, you know, if you're not involved in the business community and you're some jock like I was, you wouldn't. But, you know, I was like, hey, I'm going to some top schools here. Let me check it out. Come find out, this is like the top-rated MBA program in like the country for entrepreneurship. Ended up choosing there and going there. So this, back to your question, the reason, the way it was to get away from me, I got away from football. Yeah. I was in a two-year full-time MBA program drinking sort of pails of coffee every day to stay awake in these meetings.
Sure.
And I passively occasionally watch Patriots games, but I really didn't.
You have to
year.
Do that, right?
You have to.
You have to completely detach. Or emotionally, it can kind of take a toll. Like, you'll miss it too much, right?
Yeah. I mean, you guys know Rob Ninkovich, and Rob was a stud in this organization. And I heard Rob, we talked about this a lot, that sort of first year he was out, and you could hear it in his voice where it was like, oh, I could have made that. You know, I could have set that edge. Or yep. I think there's too much of a temptation when your body's maybe not quite where it was, but still close enough to maybe do it a little better than what you just saw kind of thing. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to critique it like that. It's really hard on you psychologically. You have to be like, and again, back to my whole thing with the injuries. My wife was like, you really did it a year late anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was sort of 12 months removed from when I should have made the decision. So it was really easy. So, you know, I'm up in Wellesley. At, you know, college bars in the middle of the night, and I'm not watching. I'm not watching Zoe and Bob and my show, Patriots this week. It wasn't a thing yet.
So, real quick, okay. Just about Ninkovich, is that Ninkovich was on our show because we had the same. Dr. Leonard both did our hair replacement.
Mine too.
No, that's not true. If you're watching Twitch, and so Ninkovich and Welker were in studio.
Yeah.
And Ninkovich, I think it was like 2 weeks before he announced he was retiring, and he said nothing on the air about any part of it. But Welker was the receivers coach in Houston, and he was talking about all the BS crap he had to do to be the coach, like logging all the plays and then like all the like photos that they had to show. And Ninkovich was going, it's terrible. It's such a waste of time. I hate it. And it sounded like someone who was just like fed up with the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously have lots of friends that have gone on and become great coaches. I mean, Christ, the guy that played on the other side, Mike Vrabel,
is
a head coach in the NFL, which every morning I wake up and try to figure out what the hell I'm doing with my life. But, no, I mean, guys like Vrabes, I mean, Cliff Kingsbury is younger than me, and he's a head coach in the NFL now. Larry Izzo, my good bud, is out in Seattle as a special teams coach. And there is that choice. If you want to put your foot on that side of the line, there's going to be a year or two of some serious grinding. And a lot of us had sort of had that choice about whether to do it or not. It was sort of a lifestyle choice not to. But back to your point with Rob, I mean, Rob was such a good player. And when, you know, 80%, or I'm making up stupid numbers, but when you're not quite yourself, it's still good enough to do it.
So
can look at it and go, I could probably still do it. He's probably right.
Were you on the Mangini team that ratted out Bill Belichick?
I was standing directly across from the camera. The Matt Estrella guy was, and this is, again, obviously I'm from the perspective of being here 6 years, but being down there for a few, I know exactly what it was. It was a joke. It's not that big of a deal. It's literally, I'm standing on the sideline, we're in the coach's box at the, whatever it is, a far 30 where you can no longer go any further.
Yeah.
You look straight across, that's him with camera on his shoulder, and the whole deal was he wasn't allowed to stand there. He was supposed to stand over there.
Yeah.
Not at 12 o'clock, got to be at 2 and a little higher. I mean, that's literally all that whole thing was, but the story at the time was mostly that there was apparently some sort of confrontation between the two security groups, and that drew the attention out in the hallway there at the Meadowlands. And part of that little fracas ended up getting media attention, and it became way more than it should have. There was some chest beating from our side, certainly not me. I was going, shut up, this is stupid.
Yeah.
But there was some chest beating above. We took care of it, and that made this thing much more than it ever should have
been. Did it affect him? Like, when it became a big story, did it affect Mangini in any sort of way? Because that's... You're turning against a guy that
he turned against you by taking the job.
Cut off.
Well, Sure, but this is next level.
Sure.
One, you could just say, listen, the guy's got to make a living.
Well, the anger was already there, right?
Yeah.
After
he
left.
Yeah, he was pissed.
But this is next level.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, the most aggravation for people that were part of those teams and even the ones that weren't on the other side is that they made like a mountain out of a molehill. I mean, this
right.
is because, you know, part of it's branding and marketing. You guys work in media. Spy? It was Spy. He's standing right there. I mean, part of it was each time a column is written, each time a headline is made, each time someone references, they talk about spying on signals. Well, spying is like espionage. Like you're digging tunnels or whatever and putting secret microphones. No, dude, he was standing right there with the camera. You're just not allowed to do it. You got to go over there.
Did you notice
it's Mangini? So nothing. That's the aggravation.
Another thing we were obsessed with, did Mangini, when he became the coach of the Jets, did you see him trying to mimic Bill Belichick?
He certainly has his own style. One of the things that we joked about a little bit at the time is down here in New England, I don't know if they still do this, but we had an itinerary. Basically, you guys give your morning sheets here. We get up every single day in New England, and they had something called the red sheet. It was literally a piece of red paper that had the itinerary, same font for the 6 years I was here, same general layout. You lived and died by that thing. You know, you weren't setting cell phone alarms at the time. You just had, you know, like your old alarm clock and your red sheet next to your bed for the 6 years I was here. You live by the red sheet. When we went to New York, you know, I was me and I believe it was Kimo Van Olhoffen. You remember Kimo was the guy that I think got the tackle on Carson Palmer when he blew out his knee.
Knee sideways. Yeah. That's right.
Kimo and myself and maybe it was Thomas Jones, running back for Chicago. I don't remember exactly who was in that first group. Tim Dwight, who was a Patriot here as well. We were all part of that first little class that signed right when Eric took the job. But one of the very first things, we have a very first team meeting, and I come down, and, you know, you're expecting Eric will try to do things his own way a little bit. But I walked out. And the red sheet had just turned green. It was literally, I'm reading down, it was like, no, Jets, not Patriots. Like, this one's on green paper. Okay, I get it. This is going to be much different.
You got to change things up. All right, Matt Chatham, former Patriot, three-time Super Bowl champion, and a proud member of the New York Jets. He's going to be part of Nesson's nightly Super Bowl preview show, Chasing History, Countdown to 53, every night this week. At 10 on Nesson.
He's also a man who refuted the Larry Izzo taking food into the bathroom story.
I think I relayed. I'll say not.
No, he didn't refute anything. No.
I relayed that Larry was refuting. Let's put it that way.
Okay. Not refuted.
Yes. I'm,
different situation.
That happened. I'm going to
say that. Yes, indeed.
Yes, right, Matt. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it, man.
Good to see you. We'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich are live on Radio Row. Toucher at the GWC, presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealers. Watch the show on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
Yeah.
Boo.
Thank you.
Boo!
Get some five on there.
A big fake out.
If you're going to play like a great band, why not play the greatest? Let's get some... You get some Maroon 5 on there.
What if the 5 did? They dug up Shannon Hoon and they said, here we go. All right. We are Toucher and Rich.
Okay.
I have things I have to do. I have things I have to do. By the way, this hour of the Toucher and Rich radio program, as we are here on Radio Row in Atlanta, is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. And if you're coming down to Atlanta for the party, Atlanta's a lovely city, Pats fans, join the station Saturday afternoon. The Sports Hub Super Saturday Party is at Hudson Grill in Midtown Atlanta, 942 Peachtree Street. Hardy and Jim Murray will be live from 2 to 6. Felger, Maz, Zoe, Beetle, Sosi, and special guest appearances getting you ready for the big game Saturday, 2 to 6 at Hudson Grill, Midtown Atlanta location. I know exactly where that is. That means it's been around for a while. Presented by Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Patriots. It's the Sports Hub Super Saturday Party.
Okay, I need to do some digging on this, but I do find this interesting. Apparently, according to some of the people that are here, Maroon 5...
The 5
is not doing a press conference for their Super Bowl halftime show.
Why not?
Why would they?
Okay, well...
It's like the Beatles. We just play on the roof.
Of course.
Speaks for themselves.
And then,
of course.
And it goes in...
Right.
Yeah.
Revealing
right.
too much.
What
are they? Is there going to be chaos? I mean, how many security guys are you going to have?
It's Hard Day's Night.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be just a crush. It's going to be like Altamont.
Can we double check this? Because I have not... I just this morning got like the Super Bowl media guide thing. And
you're the one guy who opened it.
Well, I have not yet. But no, the one thing that has in it is every single year there are different press conferences. There's the, you know, the Play 60 press conference where you've got, like, you know, a bunch of, like, athletes with kids, but they'll do interviews afterwards. There's the Roger Goodell one that goes every year where Michael Hurley gets up there and doesn't get his question in and ends up storming away angry. But every single year there is the artist who is doing the Super Bowl halftime show, comes out and answers questions. Remember the Madonna one? You know, there was that one, and there was all the but according to someone I spoke with earlier, and I said I may be wrong, but they said they could not find any press conference that involves Maroon 5. And I think that, not being silly, that has everything to do with nobody wants any questions asked about all of the artists not wanting to perform at the halftime because of Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah,
and I think that that is a Roger Goodell thing that came down, and it's just like keeping Roby off the podium yesterday. Roby Coleman.
Right.
They said, we don't want him talking, and Peters, they don't want the guys who run their mouth, they do not want to put him in a place where they could say something that makes the Super Bowl look bad. However, the one thing I'll say that is kind of ridiculous is, those press conferences, they usually determine that eight people are going to answer questions anyway. And it's that dude who hosted the Tiocho show who's, like, on Entertainment Tonight now.
He's just
hi, I'm Mr. Entertainment Guy. And all the questions like, why are you so great? Hey, can you do a crazy dance? Hey, Tom Brady, I bet he's got moves like Jagger. And it's always these plants that they have in there who ask the questions. But if they're truly not having a press conference, that has to be the reason.
Well, they could talk about how Brian Eno did the produce that sound on Moves Like Jagger.
Sure.
How revolutionary.
Is that the
that
fork
was.
And mashed potatoes sound?
Yeah. It's like they used actual dentist drills to create the music.
To create the environment that's around there. So I just found that interesting. So.
All right. So if you missed earlier in the show, Rich was Johnny on the spot. He went out to the
opening night trademark.
Opening night. Yeah, they called a million things. It's where all the players come out on the field. Wallach went there for no reason. And Rich went, and we'll have more of his audio from there coming up tomorrow. But Rich went, and he was summoned. He was summoned to the top of Mount Olympus.
Mm-hmm.
This is true. He was asked to get up and kiss the ring.
No, it was not that. It was not that kind of case.
I didn't. Nah, I'm not putting him down. I'm saying he got up there.
Summoned or not?
I was summoned. Okay. Yes, and I was told that someone would like to speak to me, and I went behind this barrier, and
behind
sure
the
enough,
old barrier.
Behind the curtain,
and behind it was both Jonathan and Robert Kraft, and
he fed grapes and fanned.
Now, Jonathan Kraft, we've spoken with many times, been on the show a bunch of times, but I've never met Robert Kraft.
I have not either.
And you know that my whole thing has been, I want to talk to Robert Kraft. I've been wanting to do an interview with him and not even talk anything about the Patriots. I want to talk all about hip hop and how he's like down with all of these rappers.
That's cool with me.
You bet it is. And his like, his sneakers, like the hip hop guy and the sneaker culture, like people like think that Robert Kraft is the guy, RKK. And so we were talking and we were just kind of going back and forth. And at the end of the conversation, he promised, he told me this is went through like a handler that Robert Kraft said that if the Patriots win on Sunday, Monday morning, we are going to receive a phone call on our show. From Mr. RKK.
Was it not said during the show yesterday, cool, you need to go to Media Day, and if you get a chance to talk to Robert Kraft, that cuts out all the middlemen, and you would be able to get it done? Was it not I who said that to you yesterday, this program?
How do you think he's going to sound the Monday after they win this?
It's going to be great, because he's going to be so happy, and he's just going to be so... I mean, because...
Even if he's hungover, it'd be great.
Well, I mean,
he's not going to be hungover.
Like, why is... Like, no one's going to obviously fault him. It's like, you know, so...
No.
Yeah, he's going to be extremely happy.
I said, how awesome is it going to be? How awesome is it going to sound?
It's going to be great. So he, once again, whether it happens or not, who knows? All I know is that the man himself said that he would do it on Monday morning if the Patriots win. So if there's any reason to root for the Patriots, so we get a nice little RKK at 6:05.
What's also funny is that Robert Kraft said he was a fan of the show, but people play him the bits from the show. Like, he's got a guy who's like following him. That's cool with me.
So that'll be great. So just, once again, that morning, we should not have Bird answering the phones.
Oh, Lord. Mr. Kraft, a couple years.
Sweetheart,
Yeah. You got to call me RKK.
Okay.
That's right.
We'll have Nick do it instead.
So perfect.
Is Nick working this week?
Yeah, he... Okay.
Yeah, he is.
What's he doing? The Twitch is here.
Like, I know. I was just going to say.
Yeah, Twitch is here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Nick, you're getting paid to do nothing.
Oh! He's doing. Oh, he's talking to people on the chat board. He's
moderator.
Mark Gemelli apparently is there.
Good thing he got that MIT education. All right, Rich, we have the stack coming up. What will we talk about?
All right. We will talk about. You will never believe what movie is strangely making $1 zillion at the box office. On top of that, we learned something about what Josh Gordon is doing right now. A report came out yesterday, and it's pretty interesting.
All right.
You know what? Hang on. We got to get to that dude from Phoenix that's nuts.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't hear that.
Okay. Right. We'll play that.
All right. Here are the headlines.
Dutcher and Rich are live on Radio Row at the Georgia World Congress Center. Presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealer. Watch the show on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub. Dutcher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And, Rich, what have we not gotten to today?
Okay, I don't care about the funding of a Phoenix Sun stadium. I really don't care how this all went down or anything like that. But what I do care about is the strangeness that happened at the student council meeting to get the city's approval to fund the brand new Phoenix Sun Stadium. So, now, there is a councilwoman. Her name is Mary Rose Wilcox. I'm just setting the scene. She is sitting at the front where all the other guys are, you know, in the big desks while they're watching everybody come up and speak. So, this was approved. I think a 6-2 vote. The city is going to publicly fund this brand new stadium. There's a gentleman who came up to speak. I want to say this. Before you listen to him, he's crazy. But the words coming out of his mouth are true. Take it away.
The public must be allowed to vote on this. If you go ahead and pass this, you are crossing a line and carrying out the equivalent of an act of violence against the public. On August 13th, 1997, I walked into the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors auditorium and shot Mary Rose Wilcox over the baseball stadium tax matter. You must let the public vote on this matter. If you go ahead and pass it, you're crossing a line, and it's equivalent to a bloody act of violence against the public. A couple hours after I shot her, I held a press conference, and here's an exact quote of the statement I made. I said I shot Wilcox to try to put a stop to the political dictatorship of Jerry Colangelo, the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, and Arizona State Legislature in passing the baseball stadium tax, and to try to force them to demolish the Bankwin Ballpark so they'll restore the vote of the people is the bottom line. And restore the public's faith in their democratic election system, and to restore democracy in Maricopa County. You must let the public vote on this matter. If you don't, you're crossing a line and carrying out the equivalent of a bloody act of violence against the public. A couple hours after that press conference, I made this statement. I said, I'm very seriously worried I'm going to be assaulted and murdered in this jail by Jerry Colangelo and Arizona's political leaders. They slammed me in a mental hospital and a psychiatric ward for a few days and told me how sick I was for making that statement. 8 months later, after my trial, but before my sentence, they installed an inmate in my living pod area. He came into my cell, hit me in the back of the head, knocked me out cold, and slammed my head on a table repeatedly. I had to undergo major surgery. My jaw was fractured and wired for months, and they had to put a bunch of metal plates in my head. The public must be allowed to vote on this matter. If you go ahead and pass it, you're crossing a line, and it's equivalent to an act of violence against the public.
Thank you. Steve, with Art Hamilton following.
Mayor, I just want to apologize to Mary Rose for that you have to listen to this. It's not right. And I just feel really bad for you, Mary Rose, that you had to go through that and that you did what you thought was right. And we as elected officials have to vote on tough issues, and we shouldn't be threatened by our lives or being shot at either. So thank you, Mayor.
Okay. So this dude, his name is Larry Maiman, and in 1997, he shot one of the women who's up there, Wilcox, because she supported a tax to fund the Diamondback Stadium. He was convicted of attempted murder, served 12 years of a 15-year sentence before being released in 2010. He told reporters yesterday that he's no longer on parole, he doesn't own a gun, but that he also doesn't regret what he did 22 years ago. And as you heard there, he said, if you do indeed fund the stadium, that is an act of violence against the public. In other words, take this as a threat.
Yeah,
that I'm going to kill you.
Pretty much.
I'm going to come in and shoot you, just like I did the woman sitting right there in front of me. So this woman who was shot is sitting and listening to this guy who walked up to her. She's probably just has had PTSD ever since that day. And that dude is allowed to walk up and recount the whole thing and then say, I was right.
Well, did they arrest the guy?
Well, hang on a second. They said he was in a mental facility, and then they let him out. What are you letting the guy
in? He shot someone.
Yeah, put him in a mental facility. He's obviously got huge problems.
Well, after this, I don't see how you can't immediately take the guy and go, well, what you just did was a threat. That was a threat. And you've done this before. It's not like we're just – and you have no remorse over it. So this obviously says that you're a menace to society.
Yeah.
We need to get you off the street. Dude, could you imagine just, like, sitting there and being that woman and the guy who shot you just sits and just gets to say, hey, what I did was right.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, it's some effed up stuff going on in Phoenix right now. And by the way, they approved it.
Yeah. So
we're all kind of sitting waiting for Mr. Larry
Nathan. Shoot a drop, yeah.
To see what that dude's going to do.
Well, that's a
fun.
It's good to know that the judicial system is really on point.
Jeez, man!
So you put him in jail, and it does no good because he comes out and has the same problems as before.
Yeah,
maybe the man could use some mental health. I'm not saying put him in a posh resort. I'm saying lock him up. But like, if you're gonna let him out, at least try to fix him.
Well, let's go from one type of crazy to a completely different kind, the harmless kind. At least harmless that I think. So there's a gentleman, I was forwarded this yesterday from one of our sales guys, and he said, Rich, I think this person was trying to contact you. I'm not sure, but this was left on my voicemail at work. You want to let it roll, Dan?
Hey, Bob. I randomly guessed there might be a Williams working at the station. I'm calling from Texas. I'm a diehard Patriots fan. I wrote a song about Brady. I'm going to sing it really quick. I'm going to give you my contact number if you think it's any good. So here it is. Listen up, listen up, we know the score. We have a super quarterback with one mighty roar. Call me old, call me slow, you say I'm done. I'm the freaking GOAT at age 41. Disputed blessings from heaven above. Brady needs no cape, not even a shove. Psycho Tom, Super Tom, look in my eyes. My loyal fans watch with no surprise. 2-minute warning, stay out of my way. Marching down the field, the Irish lightning way. Brady, Brady, Duncha, Duncha, Brady, Brady, Duncha, Duncha. Okay, my contact number is my name is and I created this song for Tom Brady and the Patriots. Thank you, sir.
Brady, I will be turning over that name and phone number to
what, these. What name? What was his name?
Brady.
What was his name? Because he might be on the phone.
Oh, really?
Is that his name?
Let me hear it. I don't know. I don't know. Is this the guy?
Might be.
Let's see. Let's pull him up.
Sir.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yeah, that was me.
Hey! It's the Brady guy. Okay, so now you were trying to get a hold of me?
I was just trying to get a hold of anybody because, you know, most of the times I was just calling major sports places and people, I called Atlanta, they hung up on me, so... I just guessed when they said he had to know someone, so I thought, well, Williams is probably one of the most prominent names, so I hit WIL, and it brought me to Bob Williams' voicemail, and that's when I sang the song Irish Lightning.
All right, dude, your phone's breaking up.
But I'm the freaking goat at age 41.
It's dedication, man.
He was on hold for an hour.
He was on hold for an hour?
Yeah.
Is he saying to your job?
Oh, is he? Let me hear that again.
No.
Brady, Duncha, Brady, no. Brady, Duncha, Duncha.
I like how he fades out.
No,
like,
that's percussion, Fred. That's percussion.
And bled out of the room.
Yeah.
Listen up. We know the score. We have a super quarterback with one mighty roar.
He's going to hear that like a dark alley one day. Brady's going to be like,
God, let's hope that is not the case.
All right. We are at the Radio Row here at in Atlanta at the Georgia World Congress Center. We'll find out what Zoe and Bertrand have coming up in just a moment.
It's Toucher and Rich live from Radio Row, presented by the New England Volkswagen Dealer. Watch the show on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich wrapping up day two here.
Can I just say, I'm the freaking goat at age 41.
Everyone's canceling their plans because of the snow and ice.
Yeah.
Which there is none.
Congratulations on making it here.
Not yet. No. I walked here. I mean, it was not bad. The most treacherous part is, like in any city, and Rich, you know this, being a city dweller, it's not the concrete sidewalks, it's the tile.
Yep.
Where they put the tile out in front to make it look nice, or on the corners where they'll do tile. That's where you slip.
That is ass over tea kettle territory.
Now, I mean, I'm not an alarmist, but somebody said, like, actually the bad day would be tomorrow, like if this all freezes overnight, like tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Get up. What they call a black ice situation.
Yeah, I'm more aware of that than anyone.
Oh, are you?
Oh yeah.
You got some tales?
Oh, I could. Let's go out to dinner and swap some stories.
Did you call me yesterday?
I might have.
Like around 4 o'clock something.
Oh yeah, I wanted to ask you something.
You want to ask me now?
No.
Okay.
You guys going out at all this week? Because I know you went. We were in Houston. You went to NASA.
Oh yeah.
You know, you guys like kind of did stuff together, like adventures. Anything planned this go around?
Yeah, I'm kind of over those guys. Spend time with them, stuff like that. No, I don't think so. I think I went to the World of Coke when, I mean, and I'm talking 40 years ago. I mean, when I was like a little kid, to the point where I've been told I went, but I have zero memory of it. Yeah. I could go over there, but
I never
that,
knew where it was until this visit. I never knew where the World of Coke was.
I went on a field trip once, and I'm like, you basically, our school paid to go to a field trip to see a product get advertised.
Yeah, and to consume sugar.
Yeah, right. I don't know quite know what the, you know, what they were trying to get there or what class it was for, but either way, they got my $13.
Nice.
Yeah. I drank a lot of Coke.
I visited the World of Coke many times. It was called Big Dogs in Las Vegas. Am I right?
Hey, now.
I'll tell you what.
Just bought it right from the bartender.
That was a good drug.
One-stop shopping.
Grinding my teeth right now with anticipation. Sweet, sweet anticipation.
So you guys had like a zillion people come by last night. Like at the, you had a little shop set up over at the media day or whatever they're calling it, opening night.
Opening night, yes.
And one by one, they were bringing over, I saw Kyle Van Noy come over there. You had a little Matthew
Hogan.
Slater action.
Hogan was there?
Hogan, Slater. I got to, or was like, that Beatle was off somewhere doing something, so I talked with Dante Scarnecchia, who was fantastic.
Oh, just you and him?
No, it was me, Zoe, and Dante, and like the first, I mean, we'll play it later, but he pretty much leads off the interview by saying, like, I said, wow, I bet this doesn't get old. He goes, oh, I hate this night. This is the worst. I just want to go home. it was just like, no, I don't want to be here. I'm like, oh, do you have work to do? No, I just hate it. I don't like this. I don't want to be here. I just want to go home.
Well, that's like 4 hours after bedtime. You know?
I'm like, why does he have to go? Like, you know, like no one's going to go. Where's Scarnecchia?
Yeah, but everybody has to go. I don't know.
Yeah, but I've seen people like walk, like literally step on the field or do whatever and then just turn around and walk off.
That's because he's a good guy. That would be my fast and
easy and
honest
answer. You started
calling him Scars? I did not. Zoe did, but Zoe knows him. Zoe, he was a coach when Zoe played.
You just call him Ekia? Or the Ia? What's up, Ia?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.